The school bell tells us that it is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And so I invite you to get your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. You might want to mark in your Bible Ezra chapter 1. We'll begin reading there in just a moment. But in introducing this lesson, we're reading the entirety of the chapter of Deuteronomy 28. Now that is 68 verses. And we got down to verse 63 in our last class session. And so we're going to begin again and finish out that chapter and then talk about how that introduces the lesson for today. While you're getting your Bible and turning to the book of Deuteronomy, I'm going to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now if you'll take your seats and open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 28, we will begin class session number 84. The reading in Deuteronomy is the words of Moses as he warned the children of Israel before he departed from them. They needed to keep the law and the statutes of the Lord God Jehovah, who had brought them out of Egypt to the borders of this promised land. And if they did so, they would be so blessed by God. But if they did not, they would be cursed. And so we're reading the end of Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse 63, down through verse 68. It shall come to pass that as Jehovah rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so Jehovah will rejoice over you to cause you to perish and to destroy you. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest in to possess it, and Jehovah will scatter thee among all peoples, and from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. And there thou shalt serve other gods which thou hast not known, nor thy fathers, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, and there shall be no rest for the sole of thy foot. But Jehovah will give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of the eyes, and pining of your soul. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear night and day, and shall have no assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would it were morning. For the fear of thine heart which thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And Jehovah will bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I said unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall sell yourselves unto your enemies for bondmen and for bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Well, that was a fierce warning that God gave to the children of Israel through the mouth of Moses. And oh, if Israel had only heeded that warning. But they did not. And the northern kingdoms, those northern tribes and that northern kingdom of Israel, because they rejected the ways of Jehovah their God, were carried away into Assyrian captivity, and from which they lost their identity as a distinct people. But the people of southern Israel, Judah and Benjamin, and those of the tribes of Levi that stayed faithful to Jerusalem, they endured for a while, but because they followed in the way of their wicked sister to the north, they too were carried into captivity unto Babylon. And there they remained for 70 years. But it was through this tribe of Judah that God was going to fulfill his promise that he made to Abraham and bring Christ into the world. And so when the 70 years were accomplished, God arranged it through his great will and his providence that the people could return from Babylonian captivity. I want to read to you about that return in the book of Ezra. If you'll now turn over to the book of Ezra, and I'm going to read the first chapter of the book of Ezra. It's 11 verses. Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Jehovah by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath Jehovah the God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whosoever there is among you, of all his people, his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Jehovah the God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever is left in any place wherein he sojourneth, let the men of that place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God which is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the heads of the fathers of the house of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, even all in whose spirit God had stirred to go up to build the house of Jehovah which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were round about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of Jehovah, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 platters of gold, 1,000 platters of silver, 29 knives, 30 bowls of gold, silver bowls of a second sort, 410, and other vessels 1,000. All the vessels of gold and the vessels of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up when they of the captivity were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. The memory verse for this, or the golden text for this particular Bible school lesson, is found in Romans 8 and verse 28. We know that to them that love God, all things work together for good. There is a passage I want to read that is a devotional reading for this particular Sunday school lesson, and this is found in Psalm 85, verses 1 through 9. This is for the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Psalm 85 and verse 1. Jehovah, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine indignation toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger into all generations? Wilt thou not hearken us again, that the people may rejoice in thee? Show thy loving kindness, O Jehovah, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God Jehovah will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are meet together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springeth out of the earth, and righteousness hath looked down from heaven. Yea, Jehovah will give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall make his footsteps a way to walk therein. I was only going to read the first 9 verses, but I was enjoying that psalm so much, I read all the way to the end of it there, to verse 13. Let me read to you from Elam's notes that he prepared for the Sunday of July the 30th, 1922, concerning this passage that we read from Ezra. He tells us about Ezra and his book. In the last 4 chapters of the book of Ezra, Ezra refers to himself as its author. He gives an account of the return of the Jews from Babylon, their rebuilding of the temple, their hindrances by their enemies, and the reformation produced by Ezra's teaching. Ezra was a descendant of Aaron, and was therefore of the priestly family, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which Jehovah, the God of Israel, had given. There's a verse I want to read from the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. It says, Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances. Now, why had the children of Israel gone into this captivity? Well, God punished the Israelites by captivity and servitude according to the solemn warnings he had given in Deuteronomy chapter 28, which we read over the air in this radio Bible school. The book of Judges gives an account of the lapses and of the restoration of the Israelites, while Kings and Chronicles give the downfall and captivity, first of the kingdom of Israel, and next of the kingdom of Judah. The subjects of the kingdom of Judah were carried into captivity at different times. But the two principal deportations were, first, when Jehoiakim, his mother, princes, soldiers, and artificers were carried away, and then second, when Jerusalem was destroyed. Sin weakened the Jews and made them easy victims of their enemies. In captivity, they were in God's school of correction. Here they passed through the furnace of trial until the dross of idolatry and other sins was consumed. Now, God did this in his wrath, but the very wrath of God was born of his love for them. Let me read to you this passage from Hebrews chapter 12, and beginning in verse 4 and going through verse 12. Here we read, ye have not resisted unto blood striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which reasoned with you as with sons. My son, regard not lightly the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art reproved of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. For it is for chastening that you endure. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father chasteneth not? But if you are without chastisement, whereof all have been made partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had our fathers of our flesh to chasten us, and we gave them reverence. Should not we much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed good to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. All chastening seemeth for the present to be not joyous but grievous, yet afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit unto them that have been exercised thereby, even the fruit of righteousness. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down, and the palsied knees, and make straight paths for your feet, that which is lame be not turned out of the way, but rather be healed. God's discipline of chastisement is of his love, and has served his purpose when it produces in his children the fruits of righteousness. We're going to end the class there and pick it up at the next session. So you've listened well, and you may now be dismissed.